Once, I lost so badly in my fantasy football league that I had to eat an entire can of dog food covered in wasabi. It was unpleasant. But now, I've found the Fantasy Footballer's Ultimate Draft Kit. The days of dog food are gone as I dig into their breakouts, values, tiered rankings, and much more. If you want to join me in the winner's circle, where you don't have to paint your butt cheeks like an elephant's face, head over to www.ultimatedraftkit.com and prepare for your fantasy draft.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. That's the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, if you're nasty.
Oh, I'm nasty. Let's go. I know this podcast is the Fantasy Footballers.
Thank you for addressing it properly then, nasty man.
That's right. That's what they call me.
Yeah, Jason the Nasty Man Moore. I am Mike, the Fantasy Hitman, right? Andy is on break. He is celebrating his wedding anniversary right now, so he will be out the rest of the week. But that doesn't matter because the two best friends in the
two best friends have a bear in the house.
Oh, yes. Cardboard bear extraordinaire. Jay Grizz is in the house. He's back. He's looking refreshed, actually. I don't know if people had seen Jay Grizz recently. He was looking a little haggard. Quarantine didn't treat him well, I guess.
Not enough fish.
He's a little, you know, rough around the edges, but he looks great.
Yeah, you are looking good, Jay.
Not a day over 3 years old. I don't know. When does a bear look good?
I don't know. How old do bears live to be, like 30? If you told me a bear, like a full lifespan for a bear is 30, or you told me a full lifespan for a bear is 90,
right,
I would totally believe either one. I have no...
Brooks, how old is a bear? How old do bears go?
I couldn't tell you.
How old do bears go?
I'm trying to find something on the sure. on the drop board over here.
How old do bears go?
And you stop talking. I need help.
I'm not sure, but Jay Grizz will never die, so...
Well, that is one of the benefits of being, you know, cardboard and not actually real. On today's show, we're going to do some buy, sell, and by popular demand, mostly from Brooks, we are doing a mock draft, but not just a mock draft, Jason. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell everyone what's so special about this particular mock draft?
Well, we've had a vocal minority ask for this a lot, and it's been a couple of years we've done this before, but Superflex is obviously more and more common, and we are nothing if not men of the people, and so we are doing a head-to-head Superflex mock draft, me versus Mike. I believe we did this the last time, not a Superflex draft, but we did a head-to-head mock. That was a blast. I dominated, and I expect to do the same again today.
You did. I think you bested me on that one.
1-0, but you know, that's just a battle. We got to fight the war now.
Make sure you follow the show. If you want to watch, youtube.com/thefantasyfootballers. Click that subscribe. Click the like, click the bell. I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff you got to click over there on YouTube. And make sure you click all that. Follow us on our socials. I am at FF Hitman. You can find the nasty one at Jason FFL. Andy is at Andy Holloway, and we are at the FF Ballers. Our handles are the same on Instagram for the personals, but the show is Instagram.com/fantasyfootballers. Jason, let's talk about a running back. You brought him up before the show started, and you didn't even know that we were going to talk about
him.
That's true.
Buy or sell, presented by Pristine Auction.
Buy or sell time. Colts running back Jonathan Taylor. Will he see 300 touches in 2021 for a 17-game pace? That's about 17 and a half touches per game. Right now, Andy has him the highest at running back 4. He's got JT Fever. I have met running back 9, Jason, running back 10, unless you have made some adjustments like you were talking about doing. But buy or sell 300 touches, which is a lot.
That is a lot. To give a frame of reference, over the last 5 years, there's been 31 backs who've had 300 touches, and 61% of those in the season as a top 5 back. Now, that statistic will change a little bit because of the extra game.
Right.
Possible to have 300 touches and not necessarily be ahead of the rest of the league by the same degree, but I'm absolutely buying the 300 touches. I have him right now statted for 320 touches, and yes, I did. I brought him up before the show. I did not know we were going to be discussing him, and in preparing for this show, I did a mock draft where I drafted Jonathan Taylor with my first pick, and it was the first time I've really done that this year because I haven't been that high on him. And I am changing my tune. I'm realizing and remembering just how doggone good he is.
He's very good.
I mean, coming out, you and I were like,
yes,
soups hot and bothered coming out of college. We're like, this guy is the fact that he wasn't a top 10, top 15 NFL draft pick. He wasn't even a first rounder.
And I cursed the Kansas City Chiefs for drafting Clyde Edwards-Helaire over him.
Yeah, dummies.
not that he's bad, but like, then I didn't, so I ended up taking Clyde in our dynasty draft, even though I much preferred Jonathan Taylor's talent.
Yeah, my point is the talent there and the change they made last year, about halfway through the season, allowing him to run more to his style. Coming into year two, I'm not worried about Marlon Mack. The Achilles is a death knell for running backs. So I think Jonathan Taylor is going to be great. I'm rising on him significantly right now, and I do buy the 300 touches. And what's exciting about it to me is he is a newborn baby. He is a youngin in the NFL, and those are the guys where when they explode, it's always in that 22, 23, 24 year old range. It's not that second contract, and so you got to take your shot. You got to say, I think he has the chance to win me a league, and you could be wrong, but this is the only time you're going to be able to buy him at the back of the first.
I have my projections for Jonathan Taylor, and it just so happened when I add up his receptions and carries, he is just at 300. So I will sell.
Oh, you got to push.
Can I push?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's going to in exactly.
Is that allowed?
Yes, I'll allow it because that's a terrible bet. You literally only get one number that you can be right on, so I will 100%
allow it. Yeah, but imagine that, the glory.
Oh, that would be, I mean, look, if you said he's only getting 300, and then he gets 300.
That's like hitting your number on the roulette table.
That's the hitman right there.
I'm going to sell. I like Jonathan Taylor. I think he's worth the first round pick. I have my concerns about how the team will use Nyheim Hines still, and will those checkdowns that he gets that he received from P. River, old Philip Rivers, will he see that same type of a target share on a weekly basis from Carson Wentz? That remains to be seen. But he is certainly one of those running backs. If you call your shot, Jonathan Taylor finishing as a top three running back would not surprise me in the least. Would it surprise you?
No, not at all. He is an absolute stud, and if they truly give him the bell cow role, he's going to dominate.
And like you said, we're talking about this 300 touch mark because of, you said it, but I want to reiterate it. Running backs that see that volume, they end up in the top five. It's just there. That's why we always say follow volume in fantasy football. That's why I'm so high on Najee Harris, because even if the team is inefficient and the offensive line is not great, he's going to see an incredible workload and will just power his way into being a superstar running back one. That was buy or sell from Pristine Auction, pristineauction.com. Use the registration code BALLERS to get a $10 credit. Pristine Auction is the best sports memorabilia site in the known universe, probably the multiverse.
I would assume if you go, you know, a billion different universes out there, they're probably the best in all of them.
What do we got? Devonta Adams is still up on the wall. Brooks, little bit lazy there, Brooks. A little bit lazy.
Just still celebrating.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by Sleeper.
I apologize for cutting you off, Brooks. I didn't know you were going to talk.
No problem.
Usually.
It's usually a good bet that he's going to be silent.
Yeah, that's why I went with it and I lost. Yeah. Goodness. Packers, Aaron Rodgers, it happened. You already know this, so we're just letting you know. You know, we're just talking about it again. He showed up.
Yeah, it's great. It's great news.
He is the quarterback for the Packers. But that means...
I got a snake, man.
Oh, so sad. Blake Bortles released. I thought for sure he was going to be the starter, you know, and do great things. But
he had a chance.
Then it turned out he was Blake Bortles.
The more interesting part, which is crazy because of how insane the whole situation was with Aaron Rodgers over the offseason, to me, now the most interesting part is a tweet came out from Trey Wingo after Rodgers had showed up that said, part of this was that he told the team he wants Randall Cobb back. Randall Cobb.
I mean, look.
He wants him back. And it was like, this is an insane trade rumor that Randall Cobb is going to be back. Lo and behold, Randall Cobb is going to the Green Bay Packers.
He's going home.
He escapes the clutches of the Houston Texans, who are doing some really weird stuff down there with the Deshaun Watson situation. I don't know if you've been following that.
Yeah.
They're like having him play other positions. What are you doing? But anyway, we're not going to talk about that. Randall Cobb is back, Jason. Fantasy value.
It is possible that he does have fantasy value there. I think that, you know, making that move and tying him to Aaron Rodgers says that I think he's going to be on the field. I think he's going to be the wide receiver too. You know, in the press conference, Aaron Rodgers talked about how upset he was that they cut Jake Kumerow, who he said was the second best wide receiver in camp last year. So I think he thinks they need a two. And so, yeah, it's great.
31-year-old Randall Cobb.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers is not going to get up in arms about age. He's proving that age doesn't matter. In fact, in his press conference, he said he's now waiting for them to bring back Jordy Nelson. So TBD on that one.
It is TBD. The last time we saw Randall Cobb really be a fantasy force was 2014 when he was the wide receiver 7. I'll be fair to him. He was the wide receiver 26 in 2015. That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. But on the field, he didn't look bad to
me
last
all right.
year. So I think he'll be fine. More than likely, he is irrelevant, but it's good for Aaron Rodgers.
The Washington football team extended breakout tight end Logan Thomas. They gave him a new 3-year deal. We have been fading Logan Thomas for fantasy football, have been out. You know, he was so necessary to that offense last year, and now the team has multiple options. Are we too low on Logan Thomas, knowing now that the team is committed to him being their starting tight end for the future?
I don't think we're too low on him. I mean, we talk negatively about his regression, the fact that, you know, the targets that just had to be his last year are not going to be, assuming that Curtis Samuel gets healthy and gets back on the field. But while that's our verbiage, he's my tight end 11. I he is not crushed to me. He's not a guy that I wouldn't draft. But it is.
Do you think that he can get back to being the tight end 5, though? Because drafting a player that you're projecting to be the tight end 11 is not exciting.
No, it is certainly not exciting. And no, I don't think he can get back to the tight end 5. I don't see that in
the
volume range of outcomes.
Washington has placed Curtis Samuel on the active PUP list. It is a groin issue that has been lingering since minicamp. Probably nothing, but we are at the time when you need to start paying attention to that stuff.
This is 8 weeks. We're going on 8 weeks of this injury. That is not good. I mean, if that was in season, you're out half the year. So hopefully he is back soon for training camp, plays of the preseason, and we could be confident he's over it. Otherwise, you know, I've had a rule over the last couple of years. I try not to buy the injury dip. So if a guy is going into the season and he's dropping an ADP because he's currently dealing with an injury, just kind of go with someone who's maybe not dealing with an injury. I'm really sad at this because this has just been a bad stretch. I was up on Akers, mm-hmm. Michael Thomas,
yep.
Curtis Samuel. These guys are all going down, man. So
yeah, you've got a curse right now.
I tweeted this
probably
out
because you're so nasty.
Just, oh, it's Mr.
So nasty.
Nasty man. But someone please hide Robbie Anderson because I would like to draft one of these guys I like this year.
If you're new to fantasy football and, you know, still struggle with some of these terms like the PUP list, what does that mean? There, we do have a new article up on the website. Our injury expert, Matthew Betts, wrote it up. It talks about what is the PUP list, other injury designations. So just, you know, a nice thing to get yourself apprised of that verbiage and learn.
Bookmark it, too, because what's going to happen is later someone's going to have some unique designation. Could be like, oh, what does that mean? Yeah. And then the answers are there for you.
The New York Jets, Jason. The New York Jets, at least at the time of this recording, maybe it'll be because we're recording, you know, a little bit early. Maybe they'll have it figured out by tomorrow, but we aren't going to miss our chance to take another pot shot at the New York Jets.
Oh, no, we're professionals.
There is one first-round pick that is not signed to their NFL team, and that is the number two overall pick. Franchise quarterback Zach Wilson is not at training camp because they didn't have enough time, apparently, between the draft and now figure out a contract. What is happening, and what are you doing, New York?
I mean, it's look, not
it's
only
absurd.
Is it's absurd. Not only is this the number two overall pick, but it's a rookie who kind of needs to get in and have training camp. You know, we talked about how we've kind of maybe not been respecting Zach Wilson's fantasy outlook because we're talking so much
about... The Jets
about,
are not either.
Yeah. We've talked so much about Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and these guys right now are not the starters week one. He is the... Like, yes. Zach Wilson is the starter week one, and he's not in camp, not signed, buffoonery, but it's okay because they have... They have James Morgan and Mike White. At quarterback.
Yeah. Mike White.
Mike White, and don't forget about James Morgan.
Now, long term.
Have you ever heard either of those names?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
me too.
When I read the list earlier.
Professional, so.
Zach Wilson will be there sooner than later, so it'll be much ado about nothing. It's just, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? And then the Saints, they brought in some depth. Mm. Oh, I hit the button wrong. Hold on.
Mediocre signing of the week.
He cut the lacrosse resurgence. He cut it short. And Chris Hogan is back, baby. Chris Hogan the Saints.
Well. We said they'd sign someone. I thought they'd aim a little higher, maybe trade for a vet, but, yikes. Okay.
And that was today's news and notes presented by Sleeper. Switch your league to the fastest growing fantasy platform today. We will be doing our mock draft on the Sleeper platform. Jason, do you have your rankings ready?
I have my rankings right in front of me.
Is your soul prepared?
It is soups prepared and soups nasty. Let's do it.
The Fantasy Footballers Mock Draft.
My soul is prepared, Dr. Jones. Is yours? All right, we're doing a super flex mock draft. That means that teams will be starting two quarterbacks, and we do have a regular flex spot there as well. This will be a true battle of supply and demand. No longer can we simply wait for the quarterback position to drop and give us value. You got to consider it immediately starting in the first round. I randomly drew pick 7. Jason randomly drew pick 8.
We'll snipe each other in every other round.
That's all right, though, because that, what was the last time? Team 11?
Oh,
whatever.
Yeah. You were soups pissed at
they had 11. My number. So the draft has begun. Patrick Mahomes, number 1.
Makes sense. Superflex league, guaranteed top dog.
Yep. Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Josh Allen, Johnny Taylor went to team number 6. So that puts me on the clock. And I am in. I'm already upside down. I've already tilted. Where do I go with the quarterback? Kyler Murray, my number 1 quarterback on the season. He is there. I can grab him. You know, I have about 10 players between my first and my second pick. So it's nice. I'm in the middle. I can at least try and play the ADP game of is a player going to drop to me or not. But I'm here to prove that even in a super flex league, you can still find value at the quarterback position. So I'm going to take my number one available running back, and I'm going with the Yeti. I will take Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Look at the spot that I was at. There were two obvious options. One of them was Derrick Henry, and the other was indeed my number one quarterback. Now, I am with you, Mike. Usually, and in fact, when I was preparing for this, I did not take my first quarterback in the first round. You can absolutely wait. Most of my mocks, I've been like a second and fourth round for my first two quarterbacks or even later, and I love the way that the teams have worked out there. However, at the eighth spot, you know, we talk about it. Patrick Mahomes, the number one pick. I would probably go Christian McCaffrey if I had the 101. Pat Mahomes is one or two usually. But Pat Mahomes is not my number one quarterback. Kyler Murray is my number one quarterback. I think he's going to score the most points at this position.
That's usually why you have them number one.
Exactly. And so at the eight, I'm going to do something I almost never, ever do, even in a super flex, and draft a first-round quarterback, and we'll see how it turns out.
Right.
I'm scared. I was hoping genuinely that you took Kyler because I'm so much more comfortable starting out with a couple of running backs.
Okay.
So I'm already a little tilted getting my number one quarterback.
Well, I think you're going to be happy with the running backs that came back. So you took Kyler. Then we saw Saquon Barkley, who may or may not be ready to start the season. That's a little sketchy. Lamar Jackson, Travis Kelce, and Dak Prescott round out the first round. Nicholas Chubb, Justin Herbert, Ezekiel Elliott, and Devontae Adams. We saw the first wide receiver go right before your pick. You are up, Jason. You have a lot of top-notch running backs who are available, or if you want to secure that second quarterback and lock up that position, you could do that as well.
No, thank you. I would like to not do that, especially because I've got Kyler. I'm probably going to wait a couple of rounds before locking in my next quarterback unless someone of obscene value drops. Right now, I feel pretty committed to getting another running back here. There are great wide receivers on the board, but there's also great running backs. And I know later in the draft, rounds, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I love the wide receivers in that range and usually hate the running backs. So I'm going to take a guy who the last two seasons has been a top five running back and has the projected increase of the passing game in Aaron Jones. Is that who you were hoping gets to you?
It was.
Sniped!
It was.
By Mr. Nasty.
I'm loving this.
Yeah.
I'm loving this this nasty talk.
I mean, I've got like six nicknames, so just
pile them on
to it. Yeah.
Someday we'll just combine them all into one super nickname.
Oh, yeah, the double stuffed nasty shim.
It'll be like Game of Thrones.
Yes. Breaker of Chains.
Introduces herself and like people have to go take a potty break halfway through because it's so long.
I like it.
All right, you took Aaron Jones. I am up. So I have Derrick Henry. Now my decisions would be at the quarterback. You got Russell Wilson. Aaron Rodgers is there. There are two very high-ranked quarterbacks for me as well, Jalen Hurts. But I'm going to go for it, man. I'm going for it. As in, I'm putting off the quarterback position, and we're going to try and build a super team of running backs. I got Derrick Henry. I wish I would have gotten Aaron Jones because that means I would have pulled in my number 4 and number 8 ranked running backs to start.
I'm guessing that you're speaking of Game of Thrones. You're going to select your champion here?
I am not because I have had this player ranked higher than Antonio Gibson the entire offseason, and I just talked about him buy or sell. I am taking the sure volume, the known thing, of rookie Najee Harris.
Wow, 206 in a super flex league that is higher than his normal ADP.
Oh man!
But I get it.
Brother,
I would have taken Austin Eckler, Antonio Gibson over him. But man, the board has come back pretty nicely for you.
It has. It has put me in quite a pickle. but before we rattle off the picks that went and then my upcoming next pick, want to thank today's sponsor, ladies and gentlemen, the Modern Finance Podcast, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, NFTs. Investing is an ever-changing landscape these days. The Modern Finance Podcast, hosted by Kevin Rose, it's a great place to listen about the latest trends in crypto, brush up on the fundamentals. Crypto isn't for everyone until you listen to Modern Finance. We have dabbled in the crypto world ourselves. It's fun. Sometimes it's heartbreaking. So it's great to have resources where people really know what they are talking about. The Modern Finance, it's a crypto show for the novice, for the expert. Their mission is to demystify crypto without dumbing it down. They offer two shows on a single podcast feed, one weekly consensus episode that explores weekly news, distills it into digestible information, and then deeper interviews with individual crypto founders and NFT artists. I recommend you check out this podcast. Even if you are not investing in crypto, you should know what is happening. You should know what the possibilities are for it. The financial landscape is harder than ever to navigate, but you don't have to do it alone. Download and subscribe to Modern Finance wherever you listen to podcasts. That's Modern Finance wherever you listen. Don't be the last person on the next train out. Listen to Modern Finance and get ahead of the future of finance.
And Foot Clan, this is the time of year you're preparing for your drafts mentally, and you got to prepare for your drafts physically. I'm not talking about working out. You know I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting your hardware, getting your championship.
You're not talking about working out?
No, I would never. I'm talking about, you know, get a trophy. Get your big old bling. You seen these Super Bowl rings? The
I
Buccaneers?
Have.
The nice big monsters?
They're very shiny.
They are very sparkly. Well, you get yourself a sparkly championship ring over at Fantasy Champs. Right now, they are giving away a free $60 championship ring if you buy a trophy or a championship belt. Rock your draft this year. You just go over there, add both to your cart, use the promo code FREERING, and you're going to get a $60 championship ring. You can get like a trophy for your league and a ring for yourself.
Yeah.
Or a trophy for yourself and a ring for yourself. So
yeah.
Use code FREERING at FantasyChamps.com.
All right, so I took Najee Harris back to the draft. Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Russell Wilson, Austin Eckler, Darren Waller, George Kittle. So the big tight ends finished off round two. Unfortunately, one of them did not fall to me. DeAndre Hopkins, DeAndre Swift, DK Metcalf, Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown, and Antonio Gibson. My champion almost fell back to me, which would have been a ridiculously tough decision to just to start triple running back in a super flex league. The amount of testosterone that it would take to make that play, Jason, I don't know if I could handle it. I consider myself, you know, like the very bountiful hair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I'm a high T guy. When you think about high tea guys, you don't think about the fancy hitman.
No, not too much. No, I wouldn't say you're first on my tea list.
Oh,
but you do have a nice head of hair.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right. So the quarterbacks are Aaron Rodgers made it back to me somehow. Only one quarterback went in that run.
It was the wide receiver run. Only one wide receiver for the first two rounds before our picks. And then you had, six wide receivers in that next little run.
I think that this would be, and ADP is still trying to catch up to Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, is now back. And it feels like Rodgers should be an automatic selection for me. But I'm really struggling with the wide receiver run that happened. Calvin Ridley is still on the board. Calvin Ridley is my number four wide receiver heading into the season. I am extremely high on Calvin Ridley's possibilities of finishing as the overall number one wide receiver on the year. Oh, I feel like that's whatever. I'm doing it. It's a bit of a hero play, but I'm going to take Calvin Ridley. So I have started Derrick Henry, Najee Harris, and Calvin Ridley in a super flex league. Who's high T now, Jason? I'm living on the edge, baby.
No, I love it. I love it. You can easily start your first three rounds without a quarterback in a super flex league, and you'll be absolutely fine because while your quarterbacks might be a lower tier, you don't have the highest end quarterback one, you could still have a very good quarterback two by the time that comes around, and of course, you're getting something in value for that. Derrick Henry, Najee Harris, and Calvin Ridley is a bomb start to a roster. So I like it. I was worried about Calvin Ridley because I did not want to go wide receiver here. I prefer loading up on more wide receivers through those middle rounds and getting the higher end running backs and or quarterbacks in this format. But man, if Ridley was there for
that's, me, that's what it made it. Calvin Ridley specifically is what made it so difficult, because there was also a running back that I had my eye on that I'm sure you're probably drafting here.
Well, there are a couple running backs that I really like. One guy that I'm absolutely in love with this year, he's got a solid chance to be a my guy, is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I absolutely think...
That's who I was referring to.
He is phenomenal. However, he's nowhere near as high in my rankings as another running back of mine, Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon, I think, is one of the very few, four guys out there in the league that we know right now is a true bell cow. He's going to be out there on 70% of snaps. He's going to get all the running work. He's going to be involved in the passing game. So now I've got to make that decision in a super flex. Aaron Rodgers is sitting there.
Yep.
Who is awesome. And putting Aaron Rodgers with Kyler would be great. Or filling out my running backs and wide receivers. And I'm going to do what I think is best, which is filling out running backs and wide receivers. I've got someone like Tom Brady ahead of Aaron Rodgers in my rankings, and I can get him later. So
okay.
I'm going to be fine.
So you took Joe Mixon. I have Joe Mixon projected right now as my running back 13, and he's one of those guys I just can't do it.
It's
hard. When it comes time where I'm slotted for Joe Mixon, I can't do it. And I know the possibilities of what I'm passing on, the upside that I'm passing on, but I can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Mixon is a hard mental play because he has burned people before. He's not just someone that, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire disappointed people last year, and so he's not super hyped, but Joe Mixon last year burned people. But I think people feel like he's burned them every single year. But it was like 2 years ago, he's the running back 13. 3 years ago, he's the running back 9.
But the 2 years ago, if I'm remembering correctly, that's when he started the season. And we were getting legit questions in like week 7. Do I drop Joe Mixon?
Yeah.
Because he was.
You're right.
He wasn't just bad. He was a liability for your team because you're going to play Joe Mixon if he's on your roster.
But then the second half of the season, he went nuclear and helped win everybody their leagues and played the entire season. So I get the hesitancy with Joe Mixon, but I'm happy to have my number 7 and number 9 running back. So I've got two top 10 running backs, my number 1 quarterback, and here I'm sitting in the 4th round questioning, do I get my second quarterback, guys that are on the board, Jalen Hurts, my aforementioned Tom Brady, Ryan Tannehill. Those are the three that I would really like. And I've got to ask myself, okay, let's assume, because this is my longer wait, let's assume those three guys are gone. Would I be happy with the next tier of going to a Kirk Cousins or Carson Wentz or Matthew Stafford, that level? I think I would be fine with that because I've got my quarterback 1 in tow, but it's really a matter of, well, what am I getting for that? Is there a great running back or wide receiver or tight end that's worth that? Right now, I don't need the running back. I'd be looking at a Josh Jacobs. So wide receiver, Keenan Allen, CeeDee Lamb, who's just been more and more exciting. Mike Evans. There's a lot of great options there. But I am going to actually play the tier-based game. I would be much more happy with the next tier of wide receivers than that tier of quarterback. So here I am, 1st and 4th round. I'm going to draft my number 5 quarterback, Tom Brady. I'm not playing around here.
I'm not playing around either. I have. I thought you were going to take the quarterback that I wanted to draft, but then I forgot we have just such a difference of opinion on Tom Brady. I like Tom Brady as a QB1, but I'm taking the upside of the young man with the legs. I will take Jalen Hurts, starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Even though Zach Ertz reported, now you're still going to rely on that quarterback.
Zach Ertz, I know this is a football show. Zach Ertz showed up to training camp looking like a Slim Shady clone. He looking like Mike Wright, his freshman year of high school, rocking that bleached blonde hair that everybody had, except now he's doing it as a grown man. What are your thoughts on Zach Ertz? When you saw the hair, did you adjust the rankings up or down?
Well, I was like, what's Guy Fieri doing at the Eagles camp? I didn't really understand at first. I was like, oh, maybe they're doing a cookout.
Is there a driver, a diner, a drive-in, or a dive here?
Right. And I think it's a dive. So, yeah, he looks patently ridiculous. I mean, he's trying to blend in and say, hey, other fellow young kids, I'm here to play football. But if you haven't seen, Google it. It's fun.
It's a good time. All right, so I took Jalen Hurts, David Montgomery, Josh Jacobs, Matthew Stafford, Keenan Allen, Mike Evans, and Daryl Henderson. Then we open up the fifth round with Miles Sanders, Trevor Lawrence, CeeDee Lamb, Chris Carson, Mark Andrews, and Ryan Tannehill. Well, I was hoping that Ryan Tannehill would drop to me and make my pick very easy, that I can get into the fourth and fifth round and still end up with two of my top 12 guys. So the higher remaining quarterbacks at this point, Matt Ryan, he is lower in my projections, but it's interesting to have Calvin Ridley and Matt Ryan have that stack, be able to go off every single week. Baker, Kirk Cousins, Carson Wentz, Justin Fields is there as he, but we still don't know if he's the starter. Justin Fields right now, just as an aside, as we've talked about our last pick in the draft, I like taking the shot on one of these rookie quarterbacks like Trey Lance and Justin Fields. At least at this very point in time, it feels like Justin Fields is the more likely guy to start week one. But I don't know if you saw the verbiage when they were talking, and Shanahan's talking about Garoppolo versus Trey Lance.
Mm-hmm.
He said, there isn't a competition, quarterback competition right now.
Yeah.
Now, do you read?
I don't.
Are you putting on your sleuth detective cap going into that no, like I am?
No, I'm not. I think when you say there's not a quarterback competition right now, you're saying that it's that Garoppolo is the guy. You're saying, look, he's a starter and you should trade for him. He is definitely our starter and someone come make an offer. He's so much better and please take him off my roster.
So you are reading into it.
Well, I do think. I mean, right now I have Jimmy Garoppolo statted out for the entirety of the season. I have been on record saying that I think I think Garoppolo will not be on this roster by week one, and that's looking less and less likely as they go into camp. But I figure some quarterback injury or something could happen. So that's where I'm at. I think Garoppolo is going to be the starter if he's on the roster. That's the part I question.
Wide receivers available for me right now would be Chris Godwin, Amari Cooper, DJ Moore, Julio, Kenny Galladay, who I still like. I like Kenny Galladay a lot more than the consensus. If I'm taking a wide receiver,
really be a my guy.
Kenny Galladay?
Yeah, because he's
approaching that.
He is a your guy. I think Andy and I have left him for dead somehow.
Yeah.
And you are saying, no, I got you, Kenny. Get on my back, and I'm going to keep you up in
so
this
smooth.
ADP.
Where are we at? Yeah.
Oh, Kenny G out there running smooth routes.
He has given us some smooth training camp footage. I don't know if you've been checking
I have not
that
seen
out.
Any training camp footage of Kenny
so
G.
So many touchdowns when there's no defense on the field.
Oh, man.
So many touchdowns. Quarterbacks, again, I guess I already ran through those. And then at running back, I guess we'll check it out just in case. I don't really have to do that with Henry and Harris, but Etienne, Kareem Hunt, Miles Gaskin, Davis. That's the tier of running back that we are in. Oh, man. I really wish Ryan Tannehill drops to me.
This is why I drafted Tom Brady, because Tom Brady,
dang it, man.
Ryan Tannehill, and Jalen Hurts. I felt like I really wanted one of those three, and I'm happy to know that they would not have gotten back.
I played the game. And I lost by one pick. That feels bad. But
you're still fine.
Yeah, I'm still fine. And I'm going to take DJ Moore.
Okay.
He's my wide receiver 14 right now. I get all the touchdown talk for DJ Moore. But what if? What if DJ Moore hits the 7-plus touchdown range? He's going to be elite.
Yeah, no, I like DJ Moore. He was in consideration when I was looking and I was sitting there on the clock. I don't have a wide receiver yet, or didn't. I had Kyler Murray and Tom Brady to go along with Aaron Jones and Joe Mixon. Love that core of my team. Now I need a wide receiver, and I'm going to take Amari Cooper. And I know earlier this episode I said, you know, I don't buy the injury dip. And That's
why I didn't take Cooper.
Right, and it makes sense. I don't feel like I'm buying the injury dip because this is a mock draft in July. And so I fully expect him to be back before we are doing real drafts,
time.
You know, the third week of August. And if he's back, then I will have no problem having him be my one. If he is, you know, if my draft day comes around and he's not out yet in August, then I will probably just let someone else take him, and I'll probably be grabbing CeeDee Lamb pretty high.
Amari Cooper, TJ Hockenson, Jamar Chase, Julio Jones, Chris Godwin round out the fifth round. Kareem Hunt, Travis Etienne, Adam Thielen, and Matt Ryan went right before you, Jason. So you're back up. Your team is Kyler, Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon, Tom Brady, Amari Cooper. And a reminder, this is a super flex and a regular flex league, so you do have to fill that extra flex spot. And as Brooks is reminding us, if you got to smash that emergency button, it is a super flex. That doesn't mean you have to put a quarterback in there. More often than not, you will be. But just a reminder that
you don't have to win. You don't have to try to like win matchups or doing it. You have the freedom to put Jared Goff in there. You know,
yeah,
or Blake Bortles. You can do whatever you want.
You can't play Blake in there. He got cut.
I mean, a super flex is a two quarterback league.
All right.
I realize that in a pinch, break glass in emergency type of situation, sure, but we want you to win.
All right. So you're up, Jay. What are you looking at?
I think I'm still looking at wide receiver here because I'm so happy with my running backs and quarterbacks. And I've got the question mark in Amari Cooper. So then it's like, oh man, what day of the week is today?
Is right now it is. We are recording on a Wednesday.
Okay.
They're listening on a Thursday.
Oh, no. That's 2 days. Because I don't know between Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods.
Oh, okay.
What day of the week
saying.
Is it? And it's both of those days. I have, like, I go back and forth on these guys so much. I'm going to stick to my rankings, and I'm going to go with Robert Woods, who, because of my Amari Cooper risk, Woods definitely feels like the safer option. But I will say this on Cooper Kupp. I am rising a little bit on Kupp recently because of Stafford. I think we've got to realize that Sean McVay nerfed this offense, necessarily so, to Jared Goff. He made the offense work for what he could do, and he wasn't great airing it out down the field that much lately. He got a little bit more gun-shy, especially as the interior of the offensive line eroded and guys just started coming up the middle. The deeper passes, I think Cooper Kupp, he can, you know, just eat that zone away on those deep passes. I think Stafford's going to find him a lot, but I took Woods.
So I am now in another predicament. So let's look at the draft board here. Six teams are between me and my next pick. Two of those teams, or I'm sorry, I miscounted. Four of those teams have one quarterback. One team already has two. And team three over here has no quarterbacks.
Sounds like someone should take a quarterback.
It does sound like that because the tier of wide receivers are there's a good chunk here where I see them all pretty similar, except for Kenny Galladay is still here. He's still smooth. And another guy who feels like he's now become in my guy contention as well, that's Tyler Lockett.
Oh yeah, baby.
Who I think is being overlooked. I am on the side of you need to pay attention to the consistency. That was a problem. Like, I'm not throwing that out the window. I think that was a massive problem last year. But the upside of what he can do, the fact that he had more targets than DK Metcalf last year, and DK Metcalf in a non-superflex league is a second round pick. And a guy who was essentially right there with him production-wise is a fifth and a sixth-round pick at the wide receiver position. I think that's too drastic.
I hope you take him because he was obviously my guy last year, finished as the wide receiver 9, which is phenomenal, but everybody's disappointed because it was so inconsistent. I've never seen a player with 100 receptions
yes.
that was inconsistent. And if you had to bet on one of those things changing, I would bet that it would be the consistency that would change, not the target volume. So I personally love that. But you are in a pickle here with whether or not you take the quarterback gamble.
I am. I'm taking the gamble, Jason. I'm going Kenny Golladay. I'm sticking with that. Miles Gaskin, Brandon Ayuk, Deontay Johnson, Tyler Lockett.
Gamble paid off.
Yeah, Javonte Williams, James Robinson. That was the sixth round. We start the seventh with Cooper Kupp, Baker Mayfield, Mike Davis, T. Higgins, Chase Edmonds, which that's a, at this point, that's a great pick. And then Team 6 is taking the chance on Justin Fields. So, two quarterbacks went Baker, Justin Fields. Now, if I knew right now that, if we knew today that Justin Fields was the starter, I would have definitely taken him earlier. So at this point, you're, you know, kind of taking that gamble. However,
I don't think there's any chance he starts week one.
That's kind of where I am. I think there is, but it's, you know, like 10 to 20% or something. It's lower that I don't want to take the chance right now. But we were just highlighting this Minnesota quarterback and saying how he is often overlooked. But if you're in a super flex, he's a fantastic quarterback too. So this crew with Kirk Cousins, I'm feeling good, Jason. I've got, let me run it down. I got Derrick Henry, Najee Harris, Calvin Ridley, DJ Moore, and Kenny Golladay. And then my quarterbacks right now are Jalen Hurts and Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I like that roster. I've got Kyler Murray and Tom Brady at quarterback, Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon at running back, and Amari Cooper and Robert Woods at wide receiver. I'm pretty stoked about my team as well. I'm looking right now at a couple of players, and at this point in the draft, there are a handful of players that I find myself taking every single time. I pretty much end up with very, very similar players because I think they are of value at this point in the draft. They're worth the risk. So, for instance, another round from now, a Melvin Gordon or Raheem Mostert, those are two guys that I'm not in love with them.
You're still taking Melvin?
In the eighth round, I am still taking Melvin. I think there is a world where, you know, this is a team built for the future. They're unbelievable. Next year, they get a quarterback. This is going to be a great team. Run Melvin Gordon into the ground. He's on a contract year basis. Save Javonte Williams for the future. I'm not like pining for Melvin Gordon, but as an eighth round, ninth round pick, I'd rather have Raheem Mostert because I think he is the starter, whereas I think Melvin Gordon, it seems like he's going to be the backup.
Melvin Gordon is off my draft board.
There's no round in which you'll draft him.
The 10th plus.
Okay.
But,
sounds like he's not off your draft board.
He is. It, in terms of practicality of me actually drafting Melvin Gordon, where he will, and in a range that he will go, he's off my board. I won't
sure.
be getting.
That's fine. But that, as I said, that's another round from now. The guy that I tend to grab over and over and over and over, and, you know, I just believe in the talent a ton, is Courtland Sutton.
Okay.
I think that, you know, ironically, a teammate there. I say I really like the team. Teddy Bridgewater is not the best in the world, but, you know, Robbie Anderson had over 1,000 yards last year. DJ Moore had over 1,000 yards last year. And I'm not sure that either of them are half as talented as Courtland Sutton. So DJ Moore is as talented.
DJ Moore is great, yeah.
But Courtland Sutton, we forget how good he was prior to being injured, and you know, I expect when he comes back to just dominate. Now, neither one of us have grabbed a tight end here, and we're in the tight end kind of, you know, the graveyard area where if I miss out on Hockenson and Mark Andrews in that sixth round area, which they almost never get to the sixth, so I don't grab them, but that's what I need to happen for me to grab them. Now I punt and I wait for some of the guys we like.
You're getting your Rams super stack here?
My Rams super stack with Higby, you're saying?
Yeah,
but I'll wait a while on tight end. I just wanted to bring it up for the listeners, let them know I don't like taking these seventh, eighth, ninth round tight ends. Like, there's a handful of guys I'm willing to stream to start the season, that's what I do if I don't grab one of those top guys. So now I'm looking at running backs. Oh, Raheem Mostert did go. He went right after me. And so did Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, so you took Courtland Sutton, Raheem Mostert, Noah Fant, Chase Claypool, who would have, I wish he would have fallen to me in the eighth. Odell Beckham, Devontae Smith, Melvin Gordon, DJ Chark, Carson Wentz. So you you played a game and you highlighted two running backs and they're both gone. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel fine because we're in the eighth or ninth round. Like, these aren't guys I'd
prefer if you felt
for.
Bad.
I know. And if I had gambled in the second or third round and lost, I would feel much, much worse. So from here on out, there's a wide receiver on the board I am madly in love with. I don't think he gets back to me.
Now, if you draft him here, what are the chances that by next week he is on the IR?
Oh, 75%. So I'm sorry to do this to you, Robbie, but I really do believe in Robbie Anderson's talent. Had 136 targets last year, over 1,000 yards. He just didn't get the touchdowns. And now he's bringing, you know, Curtis Samuel is gone and his old quarterback is in. So I think Robbie Anderson is, he is my favorite late round wide receiver value this year. So I'm going to go four wide receivers in a row. Amari Cooper, Robert Woods, Cortland Sutton, Robbie Anderson. I like my receiving core to go with my great quarterbacks and running backs.
Okay. I am looking at, I will need a third quarterback, but I'm not going to take him right here. I'm currently looking at the running back position. My eye would be on Ronald Jones, Trey Sermon. Take the chance, call the shot that Trey Sermon actually ends up being the day one starter or the starter sooner than later. Michael Carter, the presumed 1A for the New York Jets, but I'm going to go with this player who have been rising on. I'm taking Damian Harris, the New England Patriots. I understand that the upside is perceived to be capped with Cam Newton being a goal line vulture, but in the eighth round, Damian Harris is the starting running back, and I'm going to highlight Damian Harris. I think next in an upcoming show, but essentially, like, how interesting it was that Rex Burkhead was a problem for Damian Harris, which totally makes sense because he is an actual versatile running back that he can run or he can be a pass catcher for the Patriots. And as soon as Rex Burkhead got hurt last year, you saw a dramatic rise in snaps for Damian Harris as you have him and you have James White. Like, their roles are secured. And I think that Sony Michel is less of a threat to Damian than Rex Burkhead was last year. So yeah. I like getting a starting running back here in the eighth.
He is a starting running back. You can plug him in your lineup and get 8 points whenever you need. I just feel like he doesn't catch the ball and he's not going to get touchdowns while Cam's the quarterback. So those are the reasons I'm like off of Damian Harris, but I think you and Andy are both more on the value of Damian Harris as a starter in the eighth round.
Yep. Dallas Goedert went to Trey Sermon, Trey Lance, Juju, and then Deshaun Watson, who is currently playing defense for the Houston Texans in their training camp. I don't know what they're doing. Jerry Jeudy, Deebo Samuel, Daniel Jones, Ronald Jones, Jalen Waddle, and LaVisca Chenault. That's how it went between my two picks. So, interesting. Let's see. So, I'm going to look over here at tight end. Mike Gesicki, Logan Thomas. Okay. Robert Tonyan is there.
Yeah.
That's not a... No, I'm just going to make it easy for myself. I'm going to take Robert Tonyan there. With Aaron Rodgers being back, Tonyan is to me, a pretty big gamble at the tight end position to be that efficient. But again, I'll repeat myself. If you're going late round, you want a quarterback who's going to throw a ton of touchdowns. And now that Aaron Rodgers is back, I have locked that situation up.
Absolutely. I was on a mock draft podcast yesterday, and that was my late round grab. I took him over Tyler Higbee, who's my usual late round grab, because he was the tight end 3, and we all expect it to regress, but it's not impossible for him to just become more and more involved in the passing game. He's still a young tight end, and he's tied to Aaron Rodgers, so I don't mind
Randall
that
Cobb
there.
Could cause a problem for Robert Tonyan in terms of volume.
Absolutely. In terms of him leveling up and taking a step up in targets, I agree. So for everyone listening, and you're in a super flex league, you want to leave with three quarterbacks. The bye weeks, injuries, problems, and there's a finite resource. There's only 32 starters and then a couple of backups you know are going to see the field. So not every team can get three. My favorite three quarterbacks to target late for that third are Ryan Fitzpatrick, Derek Carr, and Ben Roethlisberger, guys that are not fought over. These aren't right. People aren't scrapping and clawing. So I think I can.
And they will all three be very useful.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I can play the game with all three of them still there. I doubt all three go. And I'm going to look at a different position. I still only have two running backs, so that's where I think I need to look that direction. And I'm between the youthful upside of a Michael Carter, who we saw coming out of camp. He got the first team reps, but I'm not in love with that offense. Or you have James Conner, elder statesman. I realize he's the second running back being drafted from his team, but Kenyon Drake was, you know, the running back 14 last year, but he cost you a first rounder. In the ninth round, I think a good safety piece who I expect to get a lot of touchdowns on the ground. I will take okay. James Conner in the ninth.
Jason selects James Conner. We go Mike Gesicki, Logan Thomas, Zach Wilson, Leonard Fournette for the ninth round. The tenth starts with David Johnson, Tyler Boyd, Will Fuller, and Curtis Samuel. Will Fuller in the tenth is incredible value. I love that pick. I wish he would have dropped to me, but Curtis Samuel and his groin did not drop to you,
which I'm thrilled about because that means I can't take him, and I would really like to. So I'm looking at my team here. I'm looking at that third quarterback. Now that I've shored up my running back, I'm happy with wide receiver. So it's between, do I take a third quarterback or do I take my starting tight end? At tight end, there's Tyler Higbee, and then you've got the Troutmans and
yes.
the Blake Jarwins.
Oh, yes.
I mean, guys that I...
They call you nasty.
Yeah.
Talking nasty to me right now.
Get nasty up in here. But I don't believe in them quite as much as Higbee. So I'm going to take...
I think it's a solid pick.
Take a guy that I've got as a top 10 tight end who we've seen on the field has top 5 upside, and hope that he's as involved as he was when Gerald Everett was off the field last time.
And my next selection is incredibly easy. I'm taking Michael Pittman from the Indianapolis Colts. He has been rapidly rising up my draft board. He's
another one of your guys.
He is very close to my guy contention. Double-digit rounds for the first pass catcher for the Colts, a second-round player, second-round player. I think that the sky is the limit. Athletic profile, like all the boxes are checked for Michael Pittman. A bigger question would be Carson Wentz. Does he have anything left? And you guys keep trying to convince me that he does.
For fantasy, yes.
So I'll buy in. I got Michael Pittman. Very happy about that. After that, Michael Carter, Zach Moss, Brandon Cooks, Jarvis Landry, Gronk, and Irv Smith round out the 10th. Kenyon Drake, Antonio Brown, Hunter Henry, Gus Edwards, Marquise Hollywood Brown, and A.J. Dillon. A.J. Dillon would have made me very happy if I were able to grab him right here.
But this is a family podcast, so we didn't want it to get not safe for work.
Right, yes.
And have A.J. Dillon fall to you. And
You are correct. And Hollywood Brown, Jason, who was just talking about him?
Was it
Mark Andrews?
It was, I believe it was Mark Andrews who was saying he is going to have a shock the world season. And would I love that, because I was wholly convinced that his talent is completely elite on the NFL level. Like, he is not good, he's great. And he did show enough flashes where I believe that. The problem is the passing game is so small that for fantasy purposes, I'm not sure that can happen. And now you have Rashad Bateman come into town and you go, okay, well, that's even more to eat into the pie. So Marquise Brown is being left for dead, but there is still clearly a path for him
yes.
to emerge.
He was great the second half of last year. That was pretty touchdown dependent, but he still got it done. And I saw people talk about it on Twitter. Marquise has never had an actual off season. Coming out of the draft, he had the foot problem, and then you had COVID last year. So I don't think we should bury him just yet. So I'm not overly excited. I'm definitely not caping and touting for Marquise Brown, but I'm with Jason. Let's not bury him just yet. I am up. I get my pick of the bunch for my quarterback 3. I wish I could confidently take one of the Saints quarterbacks here, because that would be an easy selection for me, either Taysom or Jameis. So I will simply...
If it was easy, they wouldn't be here.
That is true, which if you're drafting, honestly, if you're drafting right now...
It's a great pick.
I would... We have three more picks left. If you wanted to take both of those quarterbacks this late in your draft,
that is
I'm fully on board with that.
That is a great strategy because all that lets you do is drop a clear player.
Yes.
You are guaranteeing an actual top fantasy producer at quarterback, and then you get a drop for waivers in week one. I've got no problems with versus clogging your roster with some random, okay, great. I've got T.Y. Hilton on my bench.
Right. But because I don't know, and I've just laid out that possible strategy, there's no way Jason's going to allow it to happen. So I will just take Ryan Fitzpatrick. Sexiest quarterback in the league.
Absolutely. So I talked earlier, Derek Carr, Ben Roethlisberger would – oh, my goodness. I've never had a problem saying his name, but Ben Roethlisberger. He would be my pick here. But because of Robbie Anderson, I am fine playing another round of gambling and waiting. If Sam Darnold gets to me,
get that elite Sam Darnold
the
stack.
Elite stack, baby. So I'm fine with that. At running back, I think I could use a little bit more depth. I've only got Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon, and James Conner. The problem is there's not a great running back to grab.
I definitely need running back depth, but there's no one to take.
I mean, I still think Jamal Williams will be involved, but involved on the Packers, he was meh for fantasy. Involved on the Lions, I just don't see a path. So this is where I'm going to take player over team need because I just don't think it's, there's a guy like Mike Williams that I think I could grab and be, ecstatic with. He could really level up with the year two of Justin Herbert, and I'll take someone like that over a could-be nothing, a probably nothing at running back.
So you took Mike Williams, then it went Corey Davis, Nyheim Hines, Michael Gallup, Tony Pollard, Devin Singletary, Evan Engram, Darnell Mooney, Devontae Parker, and Jason, you are back up. We are almost done.
So I have Roethlisberger well ahead of Darnold in my rankings. I expect him to have a better season. But this is my third quarterback, and I hope I'm not playing Ben Roethlisberger other than a bye week here or a bye week there. So I'm going to take the shot at Darnold being, past Adam Gase in the new offense. He's still a young guy and actually someone that could – maybe level his way up into my roster versus just an injury safety blanket.
And like I said, I do need some running back depth. And look, in fantasy football, it's okay every once in a while to take a bite of the humble pie, leave the possibility that your projection for a player is a bit off base. And I got Ryan Fitzpatrick. I might as well get a little... little smooches might get a little stacked to the running back position, leave the door open for the possibility that J.D. McKissic still is as heavily
ridiculous,
involved.
Ridiculous, Mike.
I know.
Ridiculous. It's Antonio Gibson season.
I don't buy into it personally, but that's what I'm saying. I'm leaving the door open for that, and if that ends up being what the Washington football team goes with, then I got a steal of J.D. McKissic here at the back of or in the middle of the 12th round.
Well done, Brooks.
All right. Rashad Bateman, Elijah Moore, Adam Trautman. Looks like Team 4 should log out because they just won the draft. Cole Kmet, Russell Gage, Marvin Jones. Then in the final round, Henry Ruggs, T.Y. Hilton, Jamal Williams, Jared Kuk. Did you see John, I think it was Jonnu named.
Oh, yeah. The Boston.
The Boston T.E. party.
Oh, man. It's so good.
How did we not?
If you're in a deep league.
But how did we fail on that?
And you want to draft both tight ends from the Patriots, Hunter Henry and Jonnu, just so you can name
your
team.
I'm not in on either of those guys.
I mean, sometimes a name has to come first, The Boston TE party. Oh, it's good.
It's really, really solid. Okay, I'm looking through the list. We are just at the point of the draft where, I mean, which sleeper do I want to highlight on with this last pick? And I honestly, I don't know. Let me run through my team here. I got Derrick Henry, Najee Harris, Damian Harris, and J.D. McKissic at the running back position. Calvin Ridley, D.J. Moore, Kenny Golladay, and Michael Pittman at wide receiver. Jalen Hurts, Kirk Cousins, and Ryan Fitzpatrick are my quarterbacks. What, you know, decently balanced here. So, looking at the wide receivers, John Brown, Jalen Reagor, Mecole Hardman was getting a little bit of camp buzz. Did you read that one, Jay?
I hadn't read that, but it makes sense. Sammy Watkins out of there, and there's a few targets up for grabs. He's a young guy that seemed very NFL immature. So if he matures and gets a little bit more trust, I don't know if you know this, but Zach Ertz is still available.
Oh, the new blonde bombshell.
The blonde bombshell zone.
The new one. But it's the last pick in the draft, so I'm going to grab someone that I'll know immediately week one if this player has any sort of value. I will take Tevin Coleman.
Tevin Coleman.
From the New York Jets, who may still be the starter for the first couple
weeks. And I'm going to grab a running back as well. I brought up Jamal Williams earlier, a guy who's kind of going to be involved a little bit on a bad team. Why take him when I could take Latavius Murray, someone who will be involved on a good offense?
I think that's a solid pick.
Latavius is, I mean,
like your pick more than mine.
No, nobody wants him because, you know, you feel like the upside isn't there. Although if Alvin Kamara got injured, Latavius would have to really.
Well, and
have,
on top of that, with Michael Thomas being out for at least 6 weeks,
you could have Latavius getting more run as they move Kamara into the slot.
Well,
by
and
necessity.
I'm saying leave that door open. What if this team starts out the first half of the year and they're very run heavy?
Yeah.
I mean, leave the door open for that.
My team ends
up.
Yeah,
read it off.
Kyler Murray, Tom Brady, and Sam Darnold at quarterback. At running back, I've got Aaron and Jones, Joe Mixon, James Conner, and Latavius Murray. At wide receiver, Amari Cooper, Robert Woods, Cortland Sutton, Robbie Anderson, and Mike Williams. Oh, and Tyler Higbee.
At my quarterback position, I have Jalen Hurts, Kirk Cousins, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Derrick Henry, Najee Harris, Damian Harris, J.D. McKissic, and Tevin Coleman as my running backs. Wide receiver, Calvin Ridley. It's not good. When you start reading a guy's name and you like you start laughing at your pick,
yeah,
it's not the best place to be in.
It's a lot of times, the day after your league results, your draft results are right. Imported, you make a waiver move. You go to the waiver wire and you go, okay.
I didn't want to make everyone wait, so I made a pick and it was a bad pick. Calvin Ridley, DJ Moore, Kenny Golladay, and Michael Pittman at the wide receiver position. Shout out to Sleeper, the Sleeper app, the Sleeper platform. Not only are they breaking news to you every day, but they are the fastest growing fantasy platform on the planet.
And this is where we play the Megalobowl League, the biggest fantasy football league in the world that we hope you participate in come August. Details, we'll start talking about it in the mid-August. Pay attention this upcoming week as we announce another league that will be important.
Ooh, that's a good tease.
Yeah.
That's going to do it for today's show. For Jason the Nasty One.
So nasty.
I am Mike the Fantasy Hitman, right? We have a show on Saturday, and then next week it's 5 shows forever. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.